This morning's message, Barzillai's example. Barzillai's example. Barzillai was a friend of David that David made when he was on the run from Absalom. And he had brought David food, bedding, and other goods to help him in his sojourner away from the castle because his son was attempting to kill him at that time. It can be found in 2 Samuel, the 17th chapter, the 22nd, 17th chapter, the verse 2 through 29. I'm going to read in the introduction here about Barzillai, and then I'm going to try to combine it with our message from Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 14. And I told you, the theme overall is time, timing, and getting accustomed to time. And as we get older, we should have, especially if we're in the Lord, we start to manage our time, be aware of time. Time is very, very important, and God had given us time to raise our awareness. And we went over it Wednesday night in Bible study. We started a series on a study in time and timing. And time won't be in eternity. You won't have time in eternity. You'll be able to sit down and talk with people on endless through endless times. You'll be able to do things because eternity in itself is not dated. God stands outside of time. That's why its time does not have any bearing on God. One day is as a thousand years with God. But Barzillai was aware of his age. And if you're not aware of your age, you'll do things and you'll hurt yourself or overstrain yourself or overcommit yourself. And, you know, it's gone home to my heart much better as I done got older. My brother made a birthday the other day. He was 67, I think. And I go on the weekends to visit my sister and my brother that's in a nursing home. One's 70, another's 72. I think she's 72. But we get more cognizant of time as we get older, a lot of us. But we see Solomon talking in Ecclesiastes to the young person. To the young person. And that's why I read 2 Timothy says, flee youthful lust. Run away from things of your youth, of the time of your young age. And that's advice to the young person because we have those youthful desires and lust and different things that's going on. And he tells them, he says, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those, either with believers who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, see, that you, if I parse that down some, that says believers of a pure heart. You don't be unequally yoked because if you're having a lot of fellowship with people that's outside of God, there's no way they could have a pure heart because the Holy Ghost is not there. They hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit, so their advice and their counsel to you, advice to you, wouldn't be of godly advice, so you should not be around those kind of people. But Solomon is speaking here to the young people in Ecclesiastes, and that's what we want to focus on. The 12th chapter, Ecclesiastes, is to the young person. It says, remember God in your youth. Now, he's talking that, you know, as we get older, we say, I wish I'd have known that when I was young. And it's hard to, that's a hard thing to do. You can't because it wasn't that time. It wasn't time for you at that time. But listen at Barzillai, this older man that helped David during the time that David was on the run from his son. Start at 2 Samuel, the 19th chapter, the 31st verse, it says, Barzillai of Gilead had come down from Rogelim to escort the king across Jordan. He was very old, 80 years old, and very wealthy. He was one who had provided food for the king during his stay in Mahanaim. Come across with me and live in Jerusalem, the king said to Barzillai. I will take care of you there. No, he replied, I'm far too old to go with the king to Jerusalem. I'm 80 years old today, and I can no longer enjoy anything. Food and wine are no longer tasty, and I cannot hear the singers as they sing. I would only be a burden to my lord the king. And just to go across the Jordan River with the king is all on I need. Just to cross over Jordan with you, that's enough glory and honor for me. I don't need to go over there and camp and stay and be with you or anything. That's just enough honor right there. Then let me return again to die in my own town, where my father and my mother are buried. But here is your servant, my son, kill him. Let him go with my lord the king and receive whatever you want to give to me. Give it to him. Good, the king agreed. Kimham will go with me, and I will help him in any way you would like. And I will do for you anything you want. So all the people crossed the Jordan with the king. After David had blessed Barzillai and kissed him, Barzillai returned to his own home. Don't listen at preachers like T.D. Jakes and things on things that he said about David and Jonathan and all that. That's commercialized preaching or whatever. Some of the things, some of the preachers and things that we hear brings dullness of heart to you. So you have to be careful who you listen to. But that was a holy kiss. That was a congratulatory kiss. But my first point this morning is taking advice. And said the young people should be able to take advice and listen what the older people have to say to them at times. And we hear some advice from Ecclesiastes here because Solomon, one of the wisest men there was like the young people today. He had tried everything and did everything. He found out that it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. It's not much of spiritual insight in here. It's the word of God and its wisdom God gave to Solomon, which is good wisdom. It's prudent. But it's not much spiritual insight from Solomon's viewpoint because he was a man living, let's say, not under the Spirit, looking as we are. See, we have the Spirit indwelling us. We have a much more potential in us. We know that there's a purpose, that there's a reason to life, and there's a purpose for us being here. God has a purpose for us. And life is not vanity and vexation. It happens, everything happens for a reason. Let's look at how he looked at this. It might eliminate some of the words you're accustomed to hearing in the King James. We're reading it in the Living Translation. He says, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. That's good advice. Think about God when you're young. A lot of my children and people nowadays don't think about God. I think the young people almost has exercised God away from them. It's, you don't hear God in all of their conversation or all of their life thinking of living and dwelling in the presence of God. He says, honor him in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. Remember him before the light of the sun, moon, and stars is dim to your old eyes and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember him before your legs, the guards of your house start to tremble, and before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember before your teeth are few and remaining servants stop grinding, and before your eyes, the women looking through the windows see dimly. Remember him before the door to life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Now you will rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember him before you become fearful of falling and worrying about danger in the streets, before your hair turns white like an almond tree and blossom, and you drag along with energy like a dying grasshopper, and caperberry no longer inspires sexual desires. Maybe we should put in there Viagra in these days instead of the word caperberry. Remember him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. Yes, remember your Creator now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps at the golden bow is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well, for then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Concluding thoughts of Solomon, everything is meaningless. Everything is vanity and vexation of spirit, says the teacher. completely meaningless. And that's what I say. That's a viewpoint of people under the sun. That's a viewpoint of the world today. Let's eat, drink, live, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's not the end of it. That's bad advice there. Some other people, Osteen and everything, your best life now, your best life now. It's not now. It's in the next life. Don't, you know, buy books and things if you want, and buy tickets and go listen to these people. You can make the earth your home, the things of this world. But the New Testament preacher says, love not the world nor the things of the world. We have to use the things of the world. But if you are a sojourner here, you don't get comfortable. You're just a pilgrim. You know that you're just passing through. So let us be aware. He says, keep this in mind. The teacher was considered wise, and he taught the people everything he knew. He listened carefully to many proverbs, studying and classifying them. The teacher sought to find just the right words to express truths clearly. The words of the wise are like caliprods, painful but helpful. Their collected sayings are like a snail-studded stick with a shepherd drives the sheep. But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless, and much study wears you out. Be careful. You don't have to run to every evangelist and study all this. And, you know, too much study, it makes Jack a dull boy. Too much work, you know. God even told Moses not to come before him all times. That's what King Agrippa had told Paul. Too much learning had made him mad or whatever. It kind of wears you out. Sometimes you have to get away, you know. You have to get a diversionary thing to make you be able to come back and see it clearly. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. Some of that's some real good advice. A lot of it's to be read and grasp and understand. But if you look at verse 2 and 3 there, where it says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, impaired vision, and the clouds of depression return after the rain. And then verse 4 says, those eyes who look through the windows. In other words, the women looking through the window. You know, you could spot things miles away, you know. Us country boys, you know, staying back in the country, we could see miles away, you know. You could just see anything. We used to could read just about anything. You didn't need glasses. You didn't need glasses. And during that time of the youth, you know, we hear a lot of people saying, well, look, don't try to read this in the dark. Don't try to do this. In other words, protect that eyesight, that precious eyesight. But now, as we get older, we're getting aware, you know, well, maybe we should have sunshades on when we go out into the sun, staring up in the sun, you know. A while back, they had that eclipse or something. They told you not to stare directly in it. It could cause blindness or whatever. See, but now as we grow older, us older people, you know, you're developing them cataracts. You don't see quite the way you used to see. You know, that the women looking out the window, you can't, let me look at that. You notice I didn't start increasing the font in your readings, what we have here, in your Bible study notes and thing. I've increased that font. You know, at one time, that font was down to a 14 or so, but now it's up at 22 or something, you know. You start buying the bright bulbs for your house, you know. You put a little bit more light in there. You know, you got reading glasses now. I got the bifocals on my glasses where when I look down at them, I can see and read from standing right here. You know, the doctor said, let me give you that, Reb. That'll kind of help you if you look out into the audience. With that progressive lens, I can look at you, you know, because I'm a little bit more foresighted than nearsighted. But she has that reading lens at the bottom of that bifocal when that's stuck down. So as you get older, all these things start to fail. Enjoy it while you're young. I don't envy you young people now. But you need to appreciate it and thank God for that every day that you wake up and able to do those things. And use it to your best advantage, because that is fleeting. That is fleeting away from us. All those things, the people, older people would say, son, I don't have anything to give you but some advice. And you know, advice is worth more than money. Wisdom comes in knowledge and understanding. That's why it says wise counsel. If someone can tell you something, That's what you're trying to get instruction from your parents. That's why your parents are here to instruct you. Yes. Counselors and people are here around to instruct you. Yes. They say a brother is born for adversity. And, you know, as we're growing up, you know, we have all kinds of adversity with our brothers and sisters and everything. But you notice in old age how you grow closer. Very close. Like I told you, I don't miss a weekend without going trying to go see him or whatever. Because we realize in time that same brother that we used to run and play football and hide and seek and run, toss dirt in the field and do all these things. You look and see we can't do that anymore. Poor brother, two of them is not here anymore. You start getting cognizant and awareness of your own mortality, of your own thing. You know, you think about your parents are not here anymore, but what they were telling you, that makes you want to help your brothers and things, want to see, because he's been through maybe more than you have. So time is making you more feelings of all the adversity, all the things you've said or done, all that's behind you. You know, you're not bringing that up. Time heals all wounds, it says. Time changes that. That animosity, if you're still holding it, you're still holding grudges, you notice that it didn't turn to bitterness within a lot of people. A lot of people not speaking to their brothers and sisters. A lot of people have that animosity to still blame and do. You know, there are things you may say or do or whatever, but it's more like a humorous, a pun, or just that's between you and I, you and us, because nothing is closer than, you know, you said blood is thicker than water. So you may say things about your brothers or sisters. You don't really want nobody else saying those things. You don't really want that family matters being exposed like that. The fissures in the thing, we don't want. But my second point, I may labor on it a little bit longer than I did on that first one, is desires. Desires, gaining the whole world. I have a brother that's in Georgia. He's acquired a lot in life, and some of the things I see are some of his attitude of character. He's going to church now and doing a little things, but there's some seasoning that need to take place. There's some understanding and growing he need to achieve in that time. We're looking at verse 34 and 35. It says, "No," Barzillai replied, "I'm far too old to go with the king to Jerusalem. I'm almost 80 years old. I can no longer enjoy anything. Food and wine are no longer tasty, and I cannot hear the singers as they would sing, and I would only be a burden to my Lord." You know, and like I say, he's fairly well active and going about or whatever, and he said he was going to come down this week or so. My mother's birthday comes up this week, next week on the 5th, April the 5th. And he said he wanted to go by the gravesite and I was going to go with him or whatever. But like I said, I don't know how long he was staying or whatever, but you know, with your brothers and things, sometimes it's not like your friends or whatever. You say a few things to your brothers or whatever and you see them and talk, and after a while you run out of a few things to talk because y'all really not running buddies or whatever. So sometime when he come down, him and his wife, they go down in New Orleans or whatever, and he's with my nephew or whatever a good bit, he asked me about him. But, you know, and then his brothers that do hang together. I think Donald Ray and Jerry was very close, and they went to California together, and they had been some time together, and that's growing up, him and Eli a little bit closer to one another. But I was kind of the prodigal, you know, I was always kind of scattered about or whatever. And Ron, he went out to the service after he got out of high school, so me and him been more or less abroad. But we sometimes realize that we're not given to the same desires and pleasures. So sometimes we have to realize through time that some of us are homebodies. Like, we don't really want to go very many places. We don't want to very much do things. I would be much more content. And I tell you, when my children get together or whatever, I'm more or less content to be glad that they're together. David told his children, go enjoy yourself. But I'm a little bit older. I don't get off on all those things anymore or whatever. And my brother Ron, he's a year older than I. And, you know, he may like to go out to the, you know, and enjoy the club. I don't know if he'd go as much as he used to. But a lot of us have that in us. But some kind of way that distance, that pleasure is not there with me anymore. You know, the laughter and the festive talking and a lot of the free talking or whatever is just not there anymore. I don't take that's not my pleasure. I would have much more pleasure studying the word of God or hearing a good preaching or teaching or something along another line. But I'm not skeptical and critical of him, because to each one we learn through time that God builds us differently. We all built differently, and we should appreciate that. That's what time learns us, that each person God has made that character, and that's who he is and what he is. A lot of time I go and I sit with Eli, with my older brother, my sister, and look or whatever. And see, I'm contemplating, I'm thinking of spiritual things, I'm trying to grasp something else with that. And I have a hundred other things to do at that time. You know, I may be going to Zachary, I may be going off to Baker, to some store, or to some other nursing home on that Saturday to doing other things. And so I just leave my wife at home sometime, because she may not be into doing all those things, and she don't know some of the people or the things that God has put in my mind to visit or whatever. So her time is her time, what she has to do. I don't depend upon that. I've learned that each person is built differently. Every once in a while I would say, well, Donna Ray, you want to go with me to see Eli? Or you want to go this place or whatever? But when we go, he goes, he's there, he's done saw him, he's ready to go. And I'm like, you ready to go already? But he don't have the same thing on his mind that I have, because Donna Reed, he's more or less, what he taught me is time importance, that if he going to a doctor's appointment, he's to be somewhere. He's going to be there half an hour earlier or much earlier than I would. A lot of times, you want to go that early? I don't want to go that ahead of time. I'm kind of like Dagwood Boomstead. I'm almost rushing out the door and I just made it there on time. But he's more efficient. I learned from him that, see, that's respecting the other person's time. That doctor's time is important. That he's made that appointment at that time. And not some of them will penalize you. You don't cancel that appointment, or you late for that appointment, you have to reschedule or something. But he may not be sitting there thinking of what I'm thinking. So I say, okay, I'm ready to go. Let's go then. Because I don't want him to have to sit out there and do this and do that. You understand what I'm saying? So that's him. That's what I come to expect out of him. And I love my brothers, sisters. I love everyone. But we have to be aware of timing. We have to be aware of those things. I don't take pleasure in some of the things you have. A lot of people say, you're going to the reunion, you're going to this. Yeah, but after a while, I just spoke to everybody and saw everybody. I'm ready to go. I'm like Don Rady, and I'm ready to go. Because I don't feel like sitting down. Now, he may, if they got a game of domino there, he'd sit down there and blister them in domino or whatever. Because he's good at that. That's what he's, what they call himself, I think, the domino daddy or something. But he can spend a lot of time on those things. And so Solomon, there's nothing wrong. He says nothing wrong with a man to eat, drink, and enjoy the pleasures of his leisure, of his work. God had created us different ways. Some of the kids go out there and they spend time on basketball or whatever. And one of the reasons I don't like get-togethers too much, yesterday evening I came home and my daughter and her, my grandbaby was there, and my son and his daughter. And I came in from up at the church cutting grass or whatever, and they were all there or whatever. But I had a few things to do. But I was going to sit down with them or whatever, but I sit down there, and they're on their phones or whatever, you know, texting and looking at the phones. And I'm like, I can't disrupt, I don't want to disrupt their lives. They're not really visiting me, they're just here. That's why I don't get to a minute together. So I don't want to keep telling you to stay off the phone, because you act like I'm bothering you if I tell you we need to put those phones down when we come in the house. Nothing's that important. You should have a collection place when you come into places to put the phones down. In the doctor's offices, they have to tell you, look, cut your phones off. You're bothering people. Okay? So instead of bothering them, I said, my time is important too, because we're coming up on the Sabbath. My time is important too. I don't want to get to bed too late tonight, staying here watching them on the phone. So me and my grandbaby, two of my grandchildren, we went outside. I unloaded the riding mower off the truck, and I did some other things. And my son, he was, you know, so tied up or whatever, seemed like on that phone. So I fixed my rivet gun at that time. I had used a rivet gun the other day, and I got something stuck in there, and I wanted my son to help me with that. That'd have been a little bit of time together, but I didn't want to impinge on his time. So my grandchildren was out there, and I fixed the gun during that time, because I knew if I sit there with them and being miserable, not taking pleasure in that, and then by the time I'd have got all these other things done, it'd been 11 o'clock before I got in bed. So we have to sometimes, God said he gives us the desires of our hearts. We have to make our desires those that God would bless us in. Those that God would bless us in. So we can have wrong desires. See, Barzillai didn't have a wrong desire, but it just wasn't for him to go and enjoy the things that David was about to go. David's about to go back to fire, you know, to the kingdom, and he's had a lot of battles to fight and competition, but Barzillai didn't want a part of that. He said he wanted to go back and die with his people. You know, sometimes I just want to sit there and I think about my brother. I see him sit there. And, you know, time is so important. I remember the vibrancy of him and his motorcycle and everything. But one day he had a stroke. We don't never know when God's going to visit us. From that time forward, he wasn't aware. It did something to one side of his brain. So we don't know. We can leave out of here. You know, it's a time to live and a time to die, a time for everything. We don't know. We can be a victim of a drunk driver on the way home. We don't know when our time. That's in God's hand. That's why I say sometimes Barzillai was the frailty of youth. I said that about fear falling, fear being on the highway. I look at these things, you know. During the snowstorm, there was a fireman up in St. Francisville, was out there helping someone that was in a distraught situation, and someone come along and zoom down the highway and skid into him and kill him. You know, we don't really want to be on the highway, the interstate. You know, old people get a little bit more careful. Hey, slow down, son. Goes with all night, you know, ripping and running. You know, and my children, they're on the highway. I used to have nerves when I was young. I was out there doing it myself. But I'd be with my daughter or son sometime, and they cutting and zooming and going on. And I'd be, man, I don't want to break. I don't want to have. But I used to have steel nerves. Enjoy it, you young people. Y'all enjoy that. But I didn't got older. I don't jack and pull on me so much. And you know, you don't want to, you fear of heights. You know, I don't really want to go up there. I might fall. If I fall and break my hip, it'll never repair. You know, and old people used to fear things like that. I had a grandmother, Mother Carrie, who was staying on 35th Street there behind Hershey there. And she was jumping from porch to porch. And that's how she broke her hip, wasn't it? And she was bedridden the rest of her life, you know. Old people are a little bit more careful. So we have to be aware of timing and rushing and just, in other words, our abilities. Barzillai said he was 80 years old. I'll tell you about my neighbor that's 90 that goes down and plant and dig okra rows and things and works in his garden or whatever. This pilling, he want to be safe there or whatever. And the lady I was in our yard the other day, she's 87, and I was working around her. But we more or less know what we're capable of. You go get out there and overexert yourself. You hurt yourself or something. I was talking with Donna Ray the other day. I went by his house, and we're getting a mow off, and his legs are a little bit swollen or whatever, and I'm looking at him or whatever. And, you know, I wanted to give him one of my old mows that was broke, a riding mower. But that riding mower cost me so much. The carburetor, this and that there. And so I say, well, you could have that mower, but it's, you know, in my pain and toil with it is, how much it cost me from time to time. It probably would cost him a couple of $100 to keep it, to up the maintenance and the thing, to move it, because now it's the carburetor. The other day it stopped. You remember, say, someone ended up giving me a mower. But see, I think about us, and I say, well, no, because, you know, he's been good to me all of my life. And I think, can I make it easier for him? But, you know, sometimes you don't want to do things that would put a person in a more difficult mind. That would strive. I mean, you know, the things on that, and it's, but like I said, Barsilla was thinking of David. David was thinking of Barsilla. But Barsilla was cognizant of his age. And Solomon here is telling him in Ecclesiastes, remember your creator in your youth. I got a load of dirt. My son said he was going to move that dirt for me or whatever. But it's kind of limestone dirt. It's dirt that comes from deep in the earth. And, you know, the people, some people that was going to move the dirt, I took it, that $50 I told you I was going to buy that guy lunch with or whatever. I had it for a bill, and I moved it from that place, and I moved it somewhere else. Guy said, I got a load of dirt here. I said, well, good, I need it. But anyhow, my son said he could move, but I said, son, you can't do that. I didn't want to impose on him to do that, because physically, he may couldn't do it, but it would cause problems for him. And I remember me laboring on jobs. A lot of us worked hard jobs, all of us. And some of the things I did when I was younger, causing arthritis and disabilities in me now, you know, lifting on heavy stuff and doing stuff. And that's why the thing with the slaves and some of the people that had worked construction and some of the people in the office worked at top of my repetitive laboring thing. Some of the jobs the people work with asbestos, and Eli was talking about where he worked at Schuylkill or some of the other places where he could have got asbestos poisoning, you know, that whatever mesothelioma or whatever it comes from, that asbestos working. See, so a lot of times the labor, when you're young, you don't want to put nothing on your children or nobody else that you know would cause them problems in times. See, that's what my mother used to tell me. Son, you might put some coat on or stuff. That stuff will get in your bones or whatever. You get arthritis, you get pleurisy, or you get something from these things. Well, we young and could move the world and can't nobody tell us nothing. And when we get old, you know, I got arthritis so bad sometimes. It looks like people say, can you walk? It looks like I'm laboring to walk. Remember the creator that in your youth, that sometimes people are advising you and giving you prompt advice that could affect you later in life and later in time. You remember that in your youth when your parents or people are telling you, son, don't stay up all night, or the young ladies, don't do this and don't do that. But you're out there until the middle of the night or whatever, and now you're old, and some of us, a lot of people tell you, they don't tell you that. It's like they told me the other day, you don't look like you're that old or whatever. And a lot of people I went to school with, they'll say, well, look at that, and say different things. But you don't want to come up to it and ask you what happened, you know. Yeah. To some people, you know, you wonder what happened to them. They've been out clubbing too much. They've been had a hard life. Miles and miles of road that they didn't take care of their body. See, we have to do that when we're young and think about that and make that habitual. I talked about the teeth and the molars grinding, that the molars don't grind the way they used to be. It's in verse. That's what happened when I get this thing out of order. Remember before I better get back in order. Verse 3, and the grinders, in other words, the molars, the teeth, cease because they are few in those, you know, your teeth falling out, you know. You're getting them pulled. You can't get them fixed. You afford to get them fixed or whatever, or replated or whatever. So you're getting them pulled. You got partials and things. But, you know, they tell you about eating all those sweets and that this and taking care of your health, brushing your teeth and doing different things to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Now you can't eat what you used to eat or whatever. You can't chew this. You can't chew that. A lot of people can't eat apples and things. Because you didn't listen. You know, me and I went to Costco. We bought some toothbrushes there. and, you know, to brush your teeth, because, you know, sometimes you can't, your arthritis is hitting so bad you can't do right. But timing is everything. And these tooth, you know, they make the Oral-B now, the toothbrush here. We bought a pair of them. But with these toothbrushes, you, as it's electric toothbrushes, you're brushing the teeth. And each tooth, each quadrant of the mouth, that toothbrush tells you when to move to another section of your mouth. 2 minutes in each quadrant of the full quadrants of your mouth. In other words, after 30 seconds, brushing the inside and the outside, it makes a little slow down and hum, and you move, slow down. In other words, it times it so that if you feel that brushing and moving it, you brush your teeth right each time. So if you brush that night in the morning, you go keep your teeth. You keep it, and but you don't say something. No, but it's telling you, brush it like that. And it's a little light on there. If you're brushing too hard, you know, it's pushing on enamel, and then it lights up that you're brushing too hard. Just take it easy on. You know, that's fine china. That's porcelain in your mouth. You don't want to grind it down. So timing, time is, our life centers around time. Time is very important. Time. You need to take care of your body, your health and everything. That's what we're looking at here. Barcilla had been doing this. He's 80 years old. It's a lot of them that don't make it to 80. But he knows that he's not going to go over there and get in that fast lane with David, get into that with David. He's more comfortable to go back home with his people and just sit on the porch. You know, if God didn't bless you to where you didn't work, you 60 or 70, and all you can do, you want to sit on the porch with your wife or with your grandchildren or whatever. You get out in the yard, do a little mowing or weed eating or whatever. You're doing work. You're not sedentary. You're not idle. But life isn't about just grinding all the time. There's other pleasures you transfer as you get older. You through patience and things. You want to sit there. Your best thing is reading and studying God's word. You have more time to pray. You have more time to conversationalize with God, meditate on his word. But that's a blessing in older age. And it says getting up, it says with the chirpers, we hear whether. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, and then all their sounds will grow faint. I know it's a good bit of y'all too. Deacon, you do that. 5 or 6 o'clock, you're up, right? 4:35, we up. You know, you get up early in the morning. You're up early. Now, Ray, I say, you up? Yeah, I had to make some coffee. Sometime he'd be telling me at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock it was lightning or rain. I said, well, I might have not. See, because doing as you're getting older, you're not like you was when you were young. Young people get out there, and I'd be telling my son, just like my daddy used to tell me, don't let that sun catch you in the bed and make you lazy. How can you sleep 8 or 9, 10 o'clock on the weekends? You up. I don't care what morning it is, you up. You know, you older, you get up. You don't, I guess it's because you're doing less at doing other times. You don't need to sleep or whatever. But see, but in that old age, now listen at this. Talking about the undead. Sometimes you can't sleep at night. Sometimes you can't get to sleep. Sleep won't come. You lay there, sleep won't come. Sometimes you just nod off during the day, sit there napping or whatever. But see, all those are things that enjoy yourself while you're young. Go ahead on. I tell my children sometimes, son, you ought to slow down. You ought to sit down. But see, we didn't got older. We sat there and polish our shoe or find something else to do or whatever. And then during the night, I don't know, according to how good you didn't take care of your body, but I was telling my doc, he said, doctor the other day, my urologist, he said, well, look, do you get up much at night? Get up. I said, doc, you know, I get up once or twice at night. I have to go to the restroom. He said, you're not wrong with that. He said, I get up once or twice at night. Because after you pass that 40 or 50, that's part of the territory. So ain't no use in thinking you're going to go to sleep at 9, 10 o'clock and sleep all the way through. That's part of the territory, getting up at night. Just sitting on the side of the pier. Maybe get out there and pray like I do or read during that time. Because all that's, enjoy yourself while you're young, because some of that stuff won't be here as you get older. Discerning good and evil. As you get older, You're not so involved in the politics of the day and what happened with Alton Sterling and what happened here and there. Let me just stay out of that, because you know that gender's argument and strife, and that's part of the world. I just feel comfortable minding my little business right here. You go out, fight those battles if you want. I didn't fight all the battles I need to fight. I'm not going to keep fighting these battles. You know what I mean? Because you learn not to get entangled in the affairs of this world. There's a lot going on, but see, we need to be warriors for God. We need to fight for the things of God. And see, Barsilla didn't go get entangled in David's affair. Barsilla didn't go get entangled in the things of David. Don't get entangled in this world's affairs. You stand and see them afar off. I used to tell y'all about things going on in politics or whatever. You see, I didn't kind of taper back from those things. I walk back from that, because sometimes, you see, as you get older and time is there, you know that God is in control, and what happens will happen. We get there and sit there and read the paper, and it's us older people, a lot of the first page we turn to is the obituaries to see who ain't here no more. You know, we reading obituaries more than we normally do. So we realize the consequences of sowing and reaping as you get older. Mostly advice comes from you trying to advise. You know, and young people despise that. But you trying to tell your children about raising their children. You see young people where in your community living, and you try to give them advice that you maybe didn't have or didn't use, or that's affecting your life now. You're trying to make their lives better by advising them on these things and telling them don't do that, because you know laws of sowing and reaping. Some of the things you said or did while you was old, don't say this about that person. Don't gossip. Don't do this. It says, in one rising of the bird, of the sound of a bird and the crowing of a rooster, all the daughters of music singing softly. You know, so a lot of people are given to talk, but older people are given to less talk. Normally older people speak when spoken to. Normally older people sit back and allow you to say what you need to say, and then they say what they need to say. If it seems as though you're not listening, they don't keep offering the advice, they don't keep impinging on you and telling you this. As my daddy used to tell you, I didn't tell you once, boy. I ain't going to keep telling you that. A few words. So as we realize these things and we go forward in life, we become more a paced person. It says in verse 5 through 6 of Ecclesiastes, you drag along with the energy like a dying grasshopper. A dying grasshopper. You notice old people really not never in a hurry. Don't look like they're in a hurry, ripping and running anywhere. They get that pace and they stick with it. And some of us, you know, we need to be aware. That guy's going along on that crutch, or he's in a wheelchair, or he's on a walker or something or whatever. And a lot of young people just right up on him or something, give him some space. You know, we can't get up and get about anymore like we used to. It takes a few minutes to get up when you're in the waiting room. You notice the doctors, when they call you in, the nurses, you have to take your time to get up. You can't quite move like you used to. So enjoy it, young people, but just enjoy and thank God and be mindful of God during that time, because that's why he says everything is beautiful in its time. That live and you'll get there. Live and you'll get there. That old 70 or 80 year old person that you say is tying up the highway, but you thank God in your youth that if you're able to drive when you're 70 or 80, that person's not tied to, that he's driving along there. He may be just driving along there, and you thinking he's in the way, he ought to be this and that, that. And he's thankful, thank God I'm able to get out and go to the store myself. Thank God I'm able to go get these things. I was telling my daughter the other day, because she was, her and my wife was trapped at home. I wasn't there with, you know, and my wife's sick and her husband was gone somewhere, and they got hungry. But you know, God's so good. Look at the times they are. The day she texted me a picture of what they were eating. It was tacos and quesadillas or something from Izzo's or somewhere. I said, she said, oh, we got this for Uber. You know, it's Uber now. You Uber, go get your food and bring it to you just what you want. And I'm thinking, man, that's pretty expensive or whatever. I don't know, maybe $4 or $5 or whatever. But that's almost what it would cost. If I leave the house and go somewhere to get it, I might charge you $4 or $5 to go get it. So, you know, it's convenient. You know, the times and things have changed. We're not criticizing one another, but young people should be in the churches tomorrow. That's their day. Our day is today, the Sabbath day. But if the world's, if they want to choose to do that. But those that go tomorrow, be mindful not just tomorrow, but the rest of the year. Make it a continuing thing to remember the Creator. He'll bring you to the right place once you get on that way.
Yes.
That's why Solomon came to the end of his speaking. And I want to say, just like he said, the preacher said, at the end, he says he want to sum it all up with this. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God, obey his commands, for this is the duty of everyone.
Yes.
He found out, fear God, keep his commands, for this is the duty of everyone. God will judge us for everything we do. Don't wait till you get old to realize all those things back there have consequences. David, people bring up, oh, David killed somebody, David committed adultery. Well, if you fearing God and doing his commandments, the commandments will bring you to the verse where Timothy says, and Paul tells Timothy to study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That would bring you to study the book of Kings and Chronicles and see where Nathan came in and told David, because you have done this thing, the sword won't ever leave your house. So it don't justify you for running around on your wife or something just because David do it. His family was going to ever be in trouble. The sword never left his house. So if you want to use David as an example, we can use that also. Do you want the rest of your life or your children raping and killing one another? You want to use David? See, you just heard the preacher preach this and that day, and you ran off on a tangent. Stay there and get the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey said. What's the rest of the story? He says he's going to bring to light everything, whether in secret, whether good or bad. All those little misfortunes, all those little escapades you had, don't care, in that position, now it's coming out about this harlot. Now it's coming about this affair you had. Now it's coming about these drugs. All these little, nothing done in the dark that won't come to the light. It's all there. Remember those things in your youth, that it's all there and there are consequences. Hebrews says, every sin and transgression shall receive its just recompense of reward.
Yes.
The baby boomers generation, now they're telling them about what it is, hep C or whatever it is, hepatitis C or something.
Yes.
They make you get checked for. See, it had a lot of prelude shooters in those days. It had a lot of people on the, you know, HIV don't show up to sometime 10 years later on some people. But you have to give account for the things said, did in your body. That's why I say the molars, the teeth, the mouth, when he speaks of words, you have to give account for every idle word you say. Watch what you're saying about people. So I said, speak evil of nobody. But see, now, don't get confused here. You know, because I tell y'all that thing in Proverbs, but you're so upset that somebody said something about you. And Solomon, that same preacher, says, well, don't get so upset because your servant or somebody said something about you. Or don't listen to everything somebody say, because people will say things about you. People have cursed you before. People have said something. Don't be looking under every bush. You're going to find what you're looking for.
Amen.
Don't take it to heart. But remember what we read, he says in Timothy, though, what he told Timothy. He says, flee youthful lust. That where you listening at the wrong people, he says, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You understand what I'm saying? Out of a pure heart. When I was talking to someone the other day and they was talking about somebody else, one of their neighbors or something, I didn't try to be alone and say, oh yeah, they're a horrible person, they shouldn't do this or whatever. You know, we should stand in defense of the lesser. So I say, maybe the Lord's trying to get you to see that you have to allow people to be who they are. You know what I'm saying? That's who they are. You need to feel sorry and pray for those people. Didn't he say pray for your enemies? Yes. Because they're not as enlightened as you are. They're not as enlightened as you are. They're young and stupid. They're young and stupid. So we feel sorry for those people. And that's why it says be with those of a pure heart. They try to tell you. They try to tell you about, because you can't see that you're walking in the wrong way, that you're doing the wrong thing. So if you with an unbeliever, if you with somebody that's not looking at it from God's perspective, what happens is that they go side with you and it becomes evil because they're not talking from a pure heart. That's when your enemy become their enemy. Instead of you being a godly person and saying, well, look, let's just pray for them. Let's just do this. Well, yeah, they shouldn't do that. They this and that. Well, that's not out of a pure heart. So if my wife was to get with me and talk about somebody else, my wife is not to help me to me then. She's more hurtful to me. She should say, darling, don't let that get you. Just think about it. Let's pray for them. Let's say something. If she get with me and make me form a bad opinion about somebody else, you're not being a help me to me. You're hurting me then. When Thomas came to Jesus and said, Lord, these people ain't walking with us. Should we call down fire from heaven? Jesus said, you don't know what kind of spirit you are. If God's good on the just and the unjust, that you want to judge somebody in their sin, did God judge you in your sin? Or did he die for you when you were yet sinners? So we should be dealing with people that could tell us when we veer off the street instead of trying to help condemn other people. The other day I felt so sorry and I thought about the scripture. 60 minutes is how much time you have in an hour, right? Time. Think about it. And I didn't even see it. I seen it on the beginning of Colbert or something else. When Jesus says publicans and harlots will go in before you are. Now just think, this woman sitting down and saying this thing, she's a harlot, a public, a porn star, whatever she is. But what she was saying was credible. And if she's right, if that's happening, she's telling the truth. And Jesus said, at least the publicans and harlots will go in before you are, because you're a Christian person, supposedly saying you're a Christian person. And if this actually happened, you lying and saying it didn't happen. And you saying this, isn't that woman, if she's telling the truth and you've done that, she's confessed her fault. Now you saying it didn't happen and denying it and getting everybody to follow you. You covering your sin. And he says those that cover their sin won't prosper. But you need to repent. Turn from. It's different. He said, yeah, it happened. And I'm sorry I did it. And surely this was wrong. And wouldn't that be? But does God reward you if you cover your sin and say, no, it didn't happen? In Proverbs, it says an adulterous woman wiping her mouth and say she hadn't did nothing. Well, this woman did say she did something. And neither one of the two said that they accepted money. They did it. So it's more or less being a harlot. Right? That's whoredom. She didn't accept money. She said she wouldn't accept the money. Okay? But now you're saying this didn't even happen. Look, if you don't confess your wrong and turn in repentance, then it stacks up against you. I was wondering why he says publicans and harlots will go in before you do. The people were hard on Zacchaeus, and he says, come down, Zacchaeus. I'm eating at your house today. Some of the same friends of mine that's gone away from here through due time, that was people would say the scum of the earth, we used to drink out of the same bottle. We used to smoke from the same cigarette. But see, that's what they accused Jesus of, going and drinking with sinners and publicans and harlots and things. He was comfortable with drunks. He was comfortable around the sinner. But Peter, he's so religious, he separated himself from these people. And Paul had to tell him, see, that's, you don't want to grow old and be a holy roller, think you better than somebody else, everybody else. So time tells on us. Through time, you'll learn, hey, I thought I was more than my brothers and sisters. But you know what? Go sit and mourn with those who mourn. I'm going to go sit and be with those that may not have been as fortunate as I am. Because I contemplate over time. But by the grace of God, that would be me. Now how, what God brings into judgment, that's God. I'm not God. But he told me the love. Love my enemies, love my brothers, love everyone. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. So I'm not passing judgment on any of those, because time will tell. Time's going to bring us all into these things, whether we're hypocritical or not. Remember this. And you that in your 40s and 50s and 60s, you know, when he called Timothy a lad, a young person, Timothy probably was 40. So right now in our 60s, I'm a young person compared to this 90-year-old guy that's digging his garden. So I'm remembering God in my youth, because youth is just an idea of mine. Think about it. Have any one of y'all old people in your mind right now, you think you could do what you used to do, huh? So it's just a state of mind. If God someday put these same people in a new body, he will give you a new body. So make sure you have that same thinking. See, that's what limits you, your physical attributes. God's going to give you a new body, but are you thinking right? See, in your mind, you think you can do what you did when you got out of high school. That's why it says, let that same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. As a man think it, so he is. So if you keep thinking about eternal life and eternal youth, you'll have that. He's going to give you a new body so you can accomplish those desires of your heart. You won't be lame every day. You won't be blind all the time. He's going to cause you, healings going to rise up in you. You're going to run and not be weary and walk and not faint. If you have the right mind, seek those things that are above. But see, now you're limited by time. That's why it says before the evil days come, because, you know, sin and death was evil. That's why he didn't want us to eat of that tree. He says, unless you eat of that tree and die, that's why we old and decaying and going corrupt, because we all sin and fell short of the glory of God. But he can give us eternal life. He says, put them out of the garden. Let them labor two times. From dust you come and dust you return. Because if they eat of the tree of life, they'll live forever. If God gives us of his spirit, we'll live forever. He's going to change our corruptible body. That's why he says you have eternal life. Amen. So we're not dying. We're going to go to sleep. And just like I went to sleep last night and woke up, that's why Christian people think of it as a sleep. And we're not afraid of death. See, only the people that don't believe in a resurrection are afraid of dying. He took the sting out of death. He took the victory from the grave. Job said, just bury me in, hide me in the grave. I'll stand before my Redeemer one day. You're not afraid of dying. You shouldn't be afraid of dying. Fear not those that can destroy the body. Fear not. Heavenly Father, as we come before you,